continued support so that we can continue to have these programs where we can convene together as a community and benefit from the wisdom and the guidance and the scholarship of the faculty in Rosh HaYeshiva of Yeshiva University. We'd like to thank them very much. We'd also like to acknowledge that today's event is also sponsored L'Iloi Nishmas Moshe Buxbaum, Moshe Ben Nosson Mordechai Olav HaShalom, and Sarah Buxbaum, Sarah Gittel Bas Yochanan Olav HaShalom, by their children and by their grandchildren. I'd like to also welcome our past president of Yeshiva University, President Richard Joel and his wife Esther and family. I think I saw him somewhere. It's always a pleasure to be able to spend time learning together with you. I'd also like to welcome to the team of the Center for the Jewish Future, Rabbi Dov Winston, who joined us this year. Rabbi Winston will be the primary director of the Kol Yom Rishon and the Medrasha Yom Rishon for this coming year. You will meet him a little bit later, and you are welcome to share with him any insights or suggestions, and of course complaints that you have with regards to the program, and we look forward to your feedback as always. This morning we gather for a very special opportunity, not our classic format of simply one shiur or two shiurim, but you'll have the chance to enjoy a wonderful and inspirational, rousing shiur this morning as our opening program. And then following that shiur, there will be two breakout sessions that provide opportunities to choose which particular path you would like to pursue in your study of Torah this morning. At the first breakout session, we're privileged to have Rabbi Elchanan Adler and Professor Nechama Price and Rabbi Netanel Wiederblank. And at the second breakout session, Rabbi Lawrence Hagioff, Dr. Michelle Levine, and Rabbi Tzvi Sobolovsky. For our opening keynote address, it is my great privilege to introduce Rabbi Jacob Schachter, who is certainly familiar to all of us. He is a university professor of Jewish history and Jewish thought. He is the senior scholar of the Center for the Jewish Future, a very accomplished Rav and communal leader, someone who stands as a mentor and guide for really hundreds of Rabbanim and Jewish leaders across the world in guidance and mentorship for their lives, for their personal lives, for their communal lives. And it's a great privilege to have him with us here this morning to deliver our opening keynote address. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Glasser. I want to thank Rabbi Glasser not only for the introduction, but for everything that he does for us as the Dean of the CJF, which is the sponsoring host for Kollel Medreshet Yom Rishon all year round, and this morning as well. I also want to welcome Rabbi Dov Winston. Where is Rabbi Winston? Here he is in the back. Please get to know him. We are blessed by his presence. As you heard from Rabbi Glasser, he joins us this year, and we've already had a wonderful time to work together, and we look forward to a great relationship, and we really feel very, very blessed that you're part of our team, and very grateful. You should have, Rabbi Winston, a lot of hatzlacha in your move to New York, in your Rabbanah's position, in your family, and also in your professional position with us here at CJF and at YU. We also want to thank Rabbi Menachem Lewin, Karen Simon, Rabbi Nussan Waitman, Rabbi Rob Shore, the Arbisfeld family, and I also want to acknowledge the presence of former President Joel, who joins us with Esther here this morning. I want to begin by asking a series of questions and invite you to turn to the first page of the handout. Does anybody not have a copy of the handout? There should be some extras on the back. Anybody, if you don't have, please raise your hand. Okay, Nussan, I think we're good. Thank you. I want to begin with a question that, to the best of my knowledge, was first posed at the end of the 19th century. It was posed in a sefer called the Shtei Chemed. The mechaber of the Shtei Chemed is Rabbi Chaim Cheskia Medini. Rabbi Medini was a Sephardi Rav. He lived in Yerushalayim. He served for a while in Crimea. He was in Hebron. He died in 1904. And so we're looking at somebody who just made his way into the 20th century, and the Sefer was published beforehand. So we're looking here for this question at the end of the 19th century. To the best of my knowledge, the first time the question was posed. Now the question is not posed by him, but as he tells us at the top of the first entry on page 1, he had a friend who was a Rav in Yerushalayim by the name of Rav Menachem Nosson Auerbach. And Rav Menachem Nosson Auerbach knew that Rabbi Medini was publishing a Sefer, and so he invited him to please, would it be okay if you included my Shtickel Torah on this particular subject in your Sefer? And it would also be nice if you could address the issue that I am asking. I'm going to ask a Shaila, and it would be nice, maybe you could give me an answer to this question. What follows in the Ma'areches Yom HaKippurim Simen Aleph of the Sdei Chemed and Chelek Ches is a question that at the end of the day Rabbi Medini did not answer. We don't have an answer. Apparently it was unclear, and that's the issue that I want to address. Yesh Lachkor, here's the question. Hodinogin kama anoshim lasos be'erev Yom Kippur skulos shonos shelo yargishu hatzom. So maybe this was first invented, I'm not sure exactly. I tried to do research and could not come up with this. People were using a new way how to try to avoid the pain and the complexity of feeling miserable and feeling hungry and feeling thirsty on Yom Kippur. And so they took a segula, some kind of a remedy. Let's assume there is some kind of a pill. So I could take a pill on Erev Yom Kippur. If I take this pill, then it somehow will affect the way I'm feeling the next day, and I'm not going to feel so terrible, I'm not going to feel so hungry, I'm not going to feel so thirsty. Is that okay to do on Erev Yom Kippur? V'acherim mizchakim od loma, and there are those who go so far as to say, shezeh askula hi yoser beduko menusa. This is a done deal, this is tried and true. This is absolutely, I guarantee it, shelo yavo shum taiva lo la'achila v'lo l'shsia. I guarantee you're not going to be hungry, you're not going to be thirsty. Are we allowed to take such a pill? V'ani he'oni bida'as, you may recognize the resonance of a very important tefillah that we say on Yomim Noraim. V'ani he'oni bida'as, I'm a humble man, I'm poverty-stricken in my wisdom. Choshesh, I'm worried, I'm concerned, im yeos lasos kein, if it's appropriate or proper to do this. De pashtos hakra, de chol hanefesh asher lo se'une, the pasuk says in Parshas Emor, in the context of Yom Kippur, that somebody who is not se'une is generally understood to be an affliction. If you're not afflicted, hanefesh asher lo se'une, the rest of the pasuk is be'etzem ayom hazeh, so that there's an inyan of inui on Yom Kippur. There's an inyan of feeling afflicted on Yom Kippur. Who chiyuv lihios bo bi inui. So I'm supposed to feel sad, horrible, uncomfortable, physically compromised. I'm not feeling good on Yom Kippur. That's what appeared to be a chiyuv midai raisa. Ve'ech nase dvorim hagormim lahasir. How can I proactively do something that's going to take away the inui? If inui, which I'm defining as physical discomfort, is part and parcel of the biblical obligation of Yom Kippur, so am I allowed to do something proactively before Yom Kippur to get rid of it? Brings the Gemara in Shabbos, Rashi in Masechet Shabbos, and then he concludes two lines from the bottom, Chazinan, the choma shenucha lahosef ho'inui hu mitzvah. There's a Rashi there that talks about agmas nefesh, that we should be feeling discomfort, that we should be feeling. So l'cha'ora, one could conclude from this that to the extent to which we could add comfort, hu mitzvah, that's appropriate. That is me'en yonah diyoma. Ve'ech nasa l'chatchila b'kum v'asei l'haser kol ho'inui, how can I take it away? So the issue that I want to get to is, what is, title of the talk, the power and significance of the day of Yom Kippur? So if the day of Yom Kippur, by definition, is inuyim, so, l'chaora, I have to feel inuyim. And I can't do anything to obviate my feeling of inuyim. I can't do anything to take it away. Lechor. Question number one. Question number two comes from the Shailos HaTshuvos of Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Siman Chav Dalet, who also left the issue with a tzarachi, and he raised the question, and he did not fully resolve the question. Bottom of page one, Nistapakdi, I was wondering, and actually, V'uvdahavi, actually it's a Maisa Shehoya, this story happened, B'mishahoya mutal al eres dvai, b'sakonas moves, if somebody, Nebuch, was in sakana of dying, he was lying on his deathbed, and he was in danger of dying, he's a chayla sheyesh bo sakana, v'harofe tziva lo lecho b'yom ha-kippurim, and the doctor said he has to eat, so we know that a chayla sheyesh bo sakana has to eat on Yom Kippur. The famous Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Brisker said that in a chayla sheyesh bo sakana, there is no pachas pachas mikashir, you don't have to give him a little bit, a question exactly how much every 9 minutes, but you mamish, you give him like it's a Tuesday. You have to feed him totally. And Reb Chaim is said to have told his son Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, the father of our Reb Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, when he became a rabbi, he said, you can paskin whatever you want to paskin, but you have to promise me that if anybody's going to ask you, is a chayla sheyesh ber sakana on Yom Kippur, whether they are allowed to eat, the answer is yes, they're allowed to eat, and none of this pachas pachas mikashir, a little bit of a time, you have to give him everything. So it's clear that the doctor said, v'harofe tziva lo lecho b'yom ha-kippurim. V'hayom mispallel lam b'chedro. So Nebuch, if he's mamish, achayla sheyesh b'y sakana, he's mamish noita lamos, so he can't go to shul, so he's at home, he's lying in bed, he can't move. So what happened? People did a maisa chesed, and they brought the minyan to his room. They had a minyan in his room. And they brought a shulchan, and they brought an amud, and they brought a sefer Torah, and they make a whole minyan for him in his room. Vikaru also letorah. They want to give him an aliyah. How do they give him an aliyah? They rolled the bed over. I don't know exactly the technicalities, how this works out, but they want to give him an aliyah. It happens that people who are physically compromised can get an aliyah, and it gets a chanetz. You figure it out. They wanted to give him an aliyah. I didn't bat an eyelash for a second, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, and he was there, he was also there. And I told him that he should go up. Ki b'pshuto, ha-kriya b'yom ha-kippurim, machmas kedushas hayom. What is the mechayiv of kriya satorah on Yom Kippur? What it is that drives kriya satorah is the sanctity of the day. Kamo b'shar yomim tovim b'shabbos. What's mechayev a kriya satorah on Shabbos? What's mechayev is the kedusha sayom of Shabbos, the kedusha sayom of Sholosh Regolim, the kedusha sayom of Yom Tov, the kedusha sayom of Yom Kippur is what requires and is the engine that drives the obligation for kriya satorah. V'im kein, gam yisheino mesana yochol lalos. Stop for a second and just register that kedusha sayom of Yom Kippur does not require inui, does not even require tainus. The person is allowed to eat. If you're allowed to eat, if you're chayla sheyesh bar sakana, he's not feeling inui. He's feeling other kind of inui. But he's eating. He's drinking. He's having whatever sustenance he needs. And yet, he can get an aliyah, because that's a din also in Kedusha Sayyom. Kedusha Sayyom of Yom Kippur, beginning to look towards where I want to land, the Kedusha Sayyom of Yom Kippur is intact, even in the case of somebody who's not feeling inuyim. Continues Rabbi Akiva Eiger, V'ach ha'yerotzim likros oso gam b'mincha. They wanted him to have probably as many schusim as he has. Rabbi Nishom should have rachmanis on him and should grant him arichas yamim v'shanim. So nachamol yikum in mincha. It's also a kriyas ha-Torah by mincha. Now they wanted to call him up in the morning, so they called him up again by mincha. U'bazeh nistapati. Here, says Rabbi Kiveger, here I wasn't sure. Im kriyas ha-Torah by mincha havim yishum tainis. What's the driving engine of the mincha kriyas ha-Torah on Yom Kippur? For shachris on Yom Kippur, 100%, it's kedusha sayom. But what is it that drives the mincha, kriyas ha-Torah on Yom Kippur? If it's because of a tainis, you know, on ta'anios, we lay in it mincha, so it's like every other tainis, elo de b'sha'ar tainis korim vayachal. Ubiyom HaKippurim Karim B'Parshas Arayis, we read a different text. But what it is that lies behind the obligation for the reading is the same thing like every other Tainus Vim Kain, Eino Misane, Eino Yocholalos. If it's a din in Tainus, you have to be holding in the parcha of Tainus. If you're not fasting, then it's mutually exclusive. How can somebody who's not fasting get an aliyah for a Kriyas HaTorah whose whole purpose is fasting, whose whole purpose is Tainus? Oh, what's the other option? The Gam Kriya Zu Machmas Kedusha Sayom. Maybe the Kriya of Mincha on Yom Kippur is not like every other Tainus, but maybe it's also a din in Kedusha Sayom. And therefore, Likros Gam B'Mincha Kamo B'Shabbos V'Yochol Gam Eino Misana Lalos. If it's a din in Kedusha Sayom, so just like in the morning, 100% he can be Ole. So maybe by Mincha also, he should also be able to be Ole V'Tzorachian Ledina. And it's a tzarechiyah. So I wish I was a fly on the wall in Yena room to see, no, at the end of the day, did he have an aliyah, did he not have an aliyah? So we don't know what happened. We don't have a record of what happened, but at least conceptually, Rabbi Kibanger says in the morning, Kedusha Sayyim, not a problem. Mincha, it's the chakira, what's the chalois of the Kriya Satorah by Mincha and Yom Kippur? I'm not sure, tzarechiyah and ledina. Question number three, page two. We know that the Gemara tells us that we have an obligation to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. It's a special mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The way the Gemara darshens it is a little bit complex. I'll just read the Gemara. This is in Yuma Pe'alef Amidbeis, the first half of page 2. And if you look at the Maseiros HaShas at the bottom left, you'll see that this exact same Gemara is in Brachos, it's in Psachim, it's in Rosh Hashanah. I don't know why Chazal needed four different places to tell us exactly the same halacha. Apparently it's a very important halacha. The halacha is Tani Chia Barav Midifti, 5-6 lines from the bottom. V'inisam es nafsho seichem betisha v'chi betisha misanin v'alo be'osar misanin ela lomer lecha. Here's the bottom line. Kala ocha v'shose b'tshi'i male ola v'akosav ki'ilu his'ane Asiri. If you eat on the 9th, you get credit. It's as if you fasted on the 9th and the 10th. So how that works itself out is not my interest right now. But when the dust settles, it's clear that we have a special, separate mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Question number three, why do we have such a mitzvah? What's the rationale? What's the significance? What's the meaning? What's the nature of the obligation of the chiyuv of the mitzvah of achilas Erev Yom Kippur? Question number one, can I take a pill to obviate my sense of hunger and thirst? Question number two, what's the status of the Kriya Satorah on Yom Kippur? And what if somebody is eating? Can somebody who's mamish eating, parenthesis, obviously beheter, and parenthesis, get an aliyah? How does it interact with the nature of Kedusha Sayom and Tainus? Question number three, what's the significance, what's behind the obligation to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? So I want to establish a fundamental principle. Pasuk says in Parshas Achrimos, bottom of the second page, in the Parsha of Yom Kippur, so the whole first part of Achrimos is the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. That's the whole first 25-28 psukim. And then in Pasuk Chavtes, V'hoysa lachem l'chukas olam, two lines from the bottom, V'chodesh ha'shvi be'osa l'chodesh, te'anu es nafsho seichem. So the Pasuk Pshat, as we saw in the question that was posed to the Steichemed by Rabbi Auerbach, te'anu es nafsho seichem means afflict your soul. Afflict your soul means you should feel afflicted, you should feel uncomfortable. So what does that mean? What does it mean, ta'anu es nafsho seichem? So on the top of page 3, there's a Gemara in Yumai and Dalet Amid Beis, and the Gemara addresses this question. Because the Gemara assumes that it means feel miserable, feel physically uncomfortable. Affliction means physical affliction. I'm feeling not just out of sorts, but I'm feeling like bad, physically uncomfortable. Says the Gemara, Tarabana, 5 lines from the top, Ayin Dalet Amid Beis, Ta'anu es nafsho seichem, our pasuk. What does it mean to afflict your soul? Yochol yeshev b'chama o b'tzino k'deshi yitzdayer. Oh, so it's very simple. What do I need to do if I want to feel afflicted? Maybe if I stay in an air-conditioned shul, it's not going to do it for me. I'm not going to feel so afflicted. I have to feel a shtickle more afflicted. So I'm going to go out, I'm going to make sure that I have a minion in the hot sun, and I'm going to broil, and I'm going to feel miserable. Oh, that's a kiyum. That's a kiyum of tanu es nafsho sechem. Or betzina, or cold. I'm going to get a vat of freezing cold water, and we're going to have a minion in the freezing cold water. And now you're talking. That's called inui. Frank the Gemara, you might think that that's what I have to do, that it's mamish adin in physical discomfort. I have to put myself into the hot sun or into the cold. Talmud Lomar says the Gemara, no. V'chol melacha lo sasu. The next phrase in the pasuk, after tanuas nafsho seichem and achrei mos, is v'chol melacha lo sasu. Ma melacha shev al taseh. Of inui nefesh shev va'al ta'ase. That it means, what does it mean that I have to feel a sense of inui? It's not proactively placing myself into a situation where I'm going to feel uncomfortable, but it means that I have to refrain from acts that would obviate my discomfort, defined by Chazal as we have chamisha inuyim, achila, shesia, rechitza, Sicha, Me'ilas, Sandal, and Tashmish Hamita. So we're not allowed to do these things. We have to refrain from doing, but there is no obligation, there's no proactive obligation to put myself into feeling miserable. And then the Gemara continues. It's a long Gemara. There are two other examples in the Gemara, two other places where the Gemara addresses this. Tanya Idach, a few lines down. Tanu es nafsho sechem nachamo. Yochol Yeshev Bechamo Betzina V'Yitzdar Tamrod Lomer, another limud, that we don't have to do that. Then at the bottom, Deber Rabbi Yishmael Tana, Nemar Kani, Nui V'Nemar Lahalon, in Dvarim, there's also a phrase of Ayan Chav Inui, just like Ma Lahalon Inui Re'avon, Afkan Inui Re'avon. So the Gemara posits, without any question, or without any doubt or lack of clarity, the Gemara says beferish that inui on Yom Kippur is not feeling physically miserable. I don't have to feel physically miserable. I have to remove myself from things that would obviate, but to go ahead and to feel awful is not something that I have to do. I'm not allowed to eat, I'm not allowed to drink. The other inuyim, to machlekes rishonim, whether the other inuyim are da'iraiso, da'rabanan, not allowed to do them, but to feel miserable and to place myself into a situation where I'm going to feel miserable is not necessary. If you look at the Mefarshim on Chumash, on this Pasuk, at the bottom of page 3, on the Pasuk in Achrei Mos of Ta'anu es Nafsho Seichem, so the Ibn Ezra on the left-hand side, on the bottom, says, B'chodesh HaShvi'i Be'asol L'chodesh Ta'anu es Nafsho Seichem, and just the last line of the Ibn Ezra, V'haklal Kol Inui, quotes a number of psukim, kol inui sheyimtza b'mikra dovak im nefesh, wherever the inui is associated with nefesh, like the pasuk says, ta'anu es nafsho seichem, ve'inisem es nafsho seichem, wherever inui, it's not a physical, it's not ve'inisem es gufchem, your body, ve'inisem es nafsho seichem, that's the space that the inui on Yom Kippur occupies. It's talking about hu hatzon. It's talking about fasting. It's not talking about doing anything other than that, except for the other inuyim, but here it's specifically a din insol. The Ramban quotes the Ibn Ezra in the bottom right, Tanuas nafsho seichem, as the Ramban often quotes the Ibn Ezra. Very often the Ramban would disagree with the Ibn Ezra, but here he agrees with the Ibn Ezra, very short Ramban. Bottom right, Kvar Bir Rabbi Avraham. Rabbi Avraham is the Ibn Ezra. Ki chol inui sheyimtza b'mikra davak im hanefesh hu hatzom listom pihem shel hakara'im. So the Karaites were more literal. Apparently, in the Karaite tradition, it mamish meant rolling in the snow and frying yourself in the sun. V'inisem means mamish v'inisem. May their names be blotted out. It becomes clear that that's not what it means. It's not literal. It doesn't mean peinigzach. It doesn't mean to make yourself miserable, but it means that you're not allowed to eat. Now, if we understand that there is no particular obligation to hurt oneself or to be place oneself in a miserable physical situation, and that inui does not mean yeshev bechama o betzina, now we come back to question number one, the top of page four. Turns out that the one who posed the question, Rabbi Menachem Nussan Auerbach, now actually concluded that he thought it was not a good idea to take the pill on Erev Yom Kippur in order to obviate the sense of discomfort that you would feel on Yom Kippur. It's about a three-page arichas. All the Stechedim did him a big favor. He took his whole shtickel turn and put it into his sefer. And he concludes three pages later, four lines from the bottom at the top of page four. Ulam la'asot sgulot shelo yargishu klal ho'inui be'etzem ha'yom ha'kadosh, in order to do something, to take a pill, to have some kind of a remedy that you're not going to feel the inui, al dati ani omeid she'ein tzorech la'asos ke. It's not just she'ein tzorech, but it's actually not appropriate. The aleph should be a tzadi. It's really not appropriate to do this. Lo mitzad midas chasidus. It's not an appropriate thing. Midas chasidus is, don't make things easier for yourself. If you have an obligation to feel and experience and kip in a certain way, don't try to pull shtick to try to somehow get out of it. Velo mitzad la hasir me'itzumo shel hayom hakadosh. And also, if the etzem, the itzumo shel yom, is a din in v'inisem, then you shouldn't do something to eliminate it. And I'm waiting to perfume myself in the beauty of your Torah. He's writing to the author of the Stechemed, Asher Yechave Dato, and I'm waiting for you to tell me what the halacha is, and that's the end of the shtickel, and Rabbi Medini does not address the question. Turns out that this issue is raised in four different, more modern 20th century poskim. Kulam Hodu Vehimlichu Veamru, not even a question, absolutely take the pill. It's not even a suffix about whether or not you should take the pill. I bring you two of them here, Rab Mordechai Yaakov Breish and the Chelkas Yaakov. He was a very charif, charedi rav, who served from the beginning of the Second World War for some 40 years in Zurich in Switzerland, and he wrote a very significant tshuvos that are highly respected. Rav Menashe Klein, a Mishnah Halachos, he was a very charif Hungarian rav and posek, many chalakim of Mishnah Halachos. He lived in Borough Park, and we also have a Tzitz Eliezer, and we also have a Yabia Omer, and no question, 100% you could take the pill. Says Rabbi Breish on the right hand side of page 4. Imuter lefloa kadurim be'erev Yom Kippur, ubozeh mashkit ha'ra'av b'Yom Kippur. If I take a pill on Erev Yom Kippur, this will minimize or quiet the hunger pains that I will feel on Yom Kippur. And he writes this tshuva to a chassidish rebbe, Admar Micheshnov, who remarkably has a last name that always intrigued me. He has a hyphenated last name. So I don't know chassidish rebbes, if it's Adon Tzustel, hyphenated last names with Chassidish Rebbes, but his name was Rab Shalom Yecheskel Shraga Ruben Halberstadt. So Mistam from the Tata Zayt is Gevein Epes and the Mama Zayt is Gevein Epes. He wanted to have Baida's Chusim and the Yiches from Baida Zaten. So Gevor and Ruben Halberstadt, a hyphenated last name. Achusheva Chassidish Rebbe, the wonderful detzeshen of a Rebbe, actually very well known for his Chassidus and for his Tzidkis. So he's the recipient of this letter from Rabbi Breish. B'dvar she'eloso v'zeh l'shono himtziu harofim pullin. Pullin sounds like pills. Parenthesis kadurim, pills. Asher im bolin echad b'tchilas hayom, if you swallow this pill early in the day, ein sovlin rav kol hayom, you're not going to feel hungry. Now he gives you some chemical, biological analysis here, which I don't know is, I haven't verified it, but he writes as follows. Va'apulin kadurim nasu ba'ofen kazeh, she'b'chol kadur v'kadur, in every single one of these pills, yesh ke'erech masayim gar'inim. kernelach, or they're a little shtikalach, little granulach, 200 of them, angemished in this little pill, so there's some kind of a coating, right? So we're familiar with such pills. Some pills you just take straight, some pills you can open them up and there's all kinds of stuff in there and the outside disintegrates. So that's that kind of a pill. And mitten derinin, there are 200 granulach in this pill. And every once in a while, one of the granulach decomposes and becomes soft, and it enters into the system. And that's going to help take away a sense of hunger. Question: Are you allowed to take it before you start the fast, so that tomorrow you should be feeling physically comfortable? After all, Ubiyam Kippur Inui Siv. I'm not supposed to feel comfortable. I'm supposed to feel miserable, physically compromised. And after a three-page analysis, and there's a whole analysis about digestion, and that each it's being digested on Yom Kippur, and you're allowed to digest on Yom Kippur, and the answer is, of course, you're allowed to digest on Yom Kippur, as long as you don't do a Maase Chila on Yom Kippur, right? We just talked about, we'll come back to eating before Yom Kippur. So I want to eat before Yom Kippur, so that I should, Pashtos, be able to be a little bit more comfortable on Yom Kippur. So if I eat before Yom Kippur, I'm not all done digesting before Yom Kippur. So digest of itzach throughout the whole day of Yom Kippur, and as long as it's digesting of itzachit, then you feel like you're not so hungry anymore, because the tutzacheb is dart in the muggin. So you feel like something's going on, so you're not so hungry. So obviously you're allowed to do that. Vazgeparan, whether it's a piece of chicken or a piece of chicken soup, or a lekach, or whatever it is, or a shtikala granule that comes out of a pill. It's the same thing. It shouldn't be a problem at all. Hine ladaiti, bottom right, pshita demutter. It's not even a question. Pshita demutter. No question. He says, the last paragraph, he says, you have to be careful that the pill is a kosher pill. Like, he's worried that maybe there's some kind of a gelatin, episch vesvas in the coating. So really only a chayla she'ein by sakana, a chayla she'yesh by sakana, has to be careful. But the etzem ha'inyan, if it's a kosher pill, there certainly is not a problem and you're allowed to do it. Rabbi Nasha Klein, Mishnah Halachos on the left-hand side. V'derech agav, avim asher isi, dvarim lefi anaisti temuim. I saw things that are just unbelievable. They're wondrous. I can't even begin to understand them. V'stechemed, ma'areches, yom ha'kipurim, simen alos, v'katn yudches, lorav, menachem, nosen, oyerbach, ish Yerushalayim, she'yotza lachkor, ba'anoshim, sha'ochlim, erev, yom ha'kipurim, Kodem chashecha kedei lisbor biyom haKippurim ishapir dami lasos kein. Are you allowed to eat something? And the context, as we know, is can you take a pill in order to be satiated? He says absolutely not a question. There's no inyan at all of feeling miserable proactively, physically miserable on Yom Kippur. V'chitziv satora, a couple of lines down. Shelo lasos pe'ula shal yedeze yekel ho'ini b'yom ha'kippurim. Does the Torah ever tell us I'm not allowed to do anything to make the fast feel physically better? Two lines later, v'afilu b'yom ha'kippurim atzmo nami eino tzorech litza'er atzmo. That's a huge aside. On Yom Kippur, there's no mitzvah to be in tzar on Yom Kippur. Kamosha amru b'gemara yuma, and he quotes our gemara, yochel yeshe b'chamo b'tzina, Talmud Lomar, you don't have to feel like you're in a tzar. You can't eat. There's an isra achila. There's an isra shesia. Sicha, nila sasando, whatever else it is. There's no mitzvah to feel miserable on Yom Kippur. Second question. What was the second question of Rebbe Vega's issue? So it turns out there's a Pischei Tshuva that I misput later on, but I'll just summarize it for you. Pischei Tshuva says that Lefi Anias Daito, he thinks that even if it's a din in Tainis, you remember what was the issue? If it's a din, the Kriyas HaTorah is a din in Kedushas Sayom, 100% the person who's eating Beheter is allowed to have an Aliyah. What about if it's Mincha? What's the Chalois Mechayiv of Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha So the Reb Kiveir is mistapek, whether it's a din in Kedushas Hayom, in which case the Ole who's Nebuch lying there can get an Aliyah, whether it's a din in Tainis, Reb Kiveir said not. Bishaychuva says that even if it's a din in Tainis, still the person is allowed to get, because the reason why he's not Betainis is because he's allowed not to have to be Betainis. And therefore, even if it wasn't Tainis, but what I want to extract from Reb Kiveir is that Kedushas Hayom and Yom Kippur could even fit with someone who's actually eating. That person is not feeling inui. Not only is there not an obligation to proactively bring myself to feel inui, there is even an allowance for somebody who mamish doesn't feel any inui to be able to fit with the state of the day, with the purpose of the day, with the ethos of the day, with the Kedusha Sayom of the day. There's no contradiction between eating beheter, parenthesis, absolutely no inui, end parenthesis, and Yom Kippur. Third question, why do we eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Why do we eat on Erev Yom Kippur? So we first have to posit, and this is very important, and in the last while, as I was thinking about what to share with you this morning, I came back more and more to this, and I'll explain in a moment what brought me here. Yom Kippur is a yomtiv. Yom Kippur is a yomtiv. So I'm going to say it again, because we don't normally think of it that way. We think of Yom Kippur as that we're tense, and we're nervous, and we're concerned, and we're frightened, and we're worried, and we're anxious, and we're full of trepidation, parenthesis, as we should be. But Yom Kippur is a yomtiv. It's mamashi, it's a holiday. Yom Kippur is a yomtiv. How do I know? It's a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says on the bottom left of page 4, Vayikra Chav Gimel, Ela Moadei Hashem. In the parsha of the Moadim, there's a whole section in the Torah about Ela Moadei Hashem. A Moed is a holiday. And we have Ela Moadei Hashem, we have the Sholosh Regalim. So we have Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkos. And then we have in pasuk Chav Gimel, Perek Chav Gimel, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemer, Dabar El Bnei Yisrael Lemer, Bachodesh Hashvi'i, Be'echad Lachodesh. What's B'chodesh HaShvi'i Be'echad Lachodesh? Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a moed. Rosh Hashanah is a holiday. Not only is Rosh Hashanah a holiday, Pasik Chav Vav, Vayidab Hashem El Moshe Lemar, Ach Be'elsor Lachodesh HaShvi'i Azeh. What is Be'elsor Lachodesh HaShvi'i Azeh? In case you can't figure it out the first time, the Torah continues and says, Yom HaKippurim Hu. So it reminds you that it's Yom Kippur. Mikra Kodesh Yelachem. Ve'inisem es nefesh oseichem. Yom Kippur is a moed. Yom Kippur is a holiday. Yom Kippur is a holiday, and that has very significant ramifications. How do I know, besides the Torah, that Yom Kippur is a holiday? On page 5, it's a Beferish Mishnah. The Mishnah says not only is Yom Kippur a holiday, but Yom Kippur is an amazing holiday, an incredible holiday. It's an unbelievable holiday. Amrav Shimon ben Gamliel, it's a Mishnah. The end of Maseches Tainis, first entry on page 5. Lo hayu yamim tovim li Yisrael, kechamisha asu ba'av, tu ba'av, uchi yom ha-kippurim. So they seem to be a little lopsided. You have tu ba'av and you have yom perfecti gemara in the middle section. Bishloma yom ha-kippurim. Why is Yom Kippur lo hayu yamim tovim li Yisrael? It's like the greatest holiday imaginable. It's greater, it's even more of a yomtiv than the Sholosh Regalim, than Sukkot and Pesach and Shavuos. There were never such holidays ever. And one of them is Yom Kippur. So I understand, says the Gemara, why is Yom Kippur a yomtiv? It's referred to as Yomim Tovim. Bishlomo Yom Kippur Mishum De'ispei Slicho Mechila. Because if we do our work, and it's incumbent upon us to do our work and to stand before God and to do what we need to do in order to properly ask for and hopefully deserve Slicha Mechila, so God will grant it to us. Emir Tzah Hashem, it's a day of Slicha Mechila. And second of all, Yom Shenitnu Bo Luchos Achronos. The second Luchos were given on Yom Kippur. The first Luchos were broken. Moshe Rabbeinu went up, down, up, down, up, down, 3 times, 40 days each. He came down with the second Luchos on Yom Kippur. The tablets that themselves identify and represent the law, the worldview by which we live our lives, and which humanity lives its life for all eternity, were given on Yom Kippur. So it's a big Yom Tiv. Yom Kippur is a huge Yom Tiv. And that's important for us to remember. Why do we eat on Erev Yom Kippur? So Rashi tells us, I bring you here Brachas Avches Amidbeis. It's also a Rashi in Yuma, but I don't want to trouble you to turn back the pages. Just look here in Rashi. Why do we have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Hachi ka'amar kra, top line of Rashi, second line of Rashi. Hechinu atzmechem b'tisha l'chodesh l'inoy hamachras. Tomorrow I'm not going to be able to eat. So in order for me to minimize my hunger pangs tomorrow, I eat before. It's a din in hachan. I prepare myself to do what I need to do in order to be able to get through the next day. There's a beautiful, beautiful mashal in the Rush at the top of the next page. Rabbeinu Asher quotes this rationale, and he says as follows: Klomar, line number 4, Hechinu atzmechem b'tisha lachodesh lehischazek ba'achila ubishasiya kedei shetuchlu lehisanos lamocha. Because if I walk in hungry, I'll never be able to make it through. Or if I'm going to continue fasting, I'm going to be a wreck. I'm going to have to go home in the middle of Musaf and go to sleep. And that's the end of my Yom Kippur. In order to prepare myself, I therefore am mischazek myself, Erev Yom Kippur. Hechinu atzmechem. It's a din in preparation. In order, kedei shatuchlu lehisanos lamocha. Laharos chiboso shel hamakom baruchu liYisrael. The fact that God obligates us to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is an expression of God's beautiful feelings of love for us. Ka'adam sheyesh lo yelad sha'ashuim v'gozer olav le'esanos yom echad. Somebody who has a favorite child and for some reason requires that child to fast on a particular day, v'tzivo le'ha'achilo u'le'hashkoso Erev Yom Atainis, and he makes sure that the child is fed and is given to drink before the day that he has to fast, kadesha yuchol lispol, so he should be able to get through what it is that he needs to do the next day. Kacha kadosh baruch hu mikol yemos hashana lo tziva liyisrael lehisanos elo yom echad. There's one da'iraisa a day that we're obligated to fast. Litovason lechaper al avonosam. It's to do us a favor, so we should be able to extricate ourselves from our normal patterns of behavior and focus, and to try to get kapara for our sins. V'hizhiram lecho v'lishtos erev atayis. So God does us a favor. God's a balchesim. We even get a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur because we have to be prepared for the next day. Rabbeinu Yonah and the Shaarei Tshuva, one of the most famous medieval Spanish pietists and great rabbis, lived in Girona in the 13th century. Rabbeinu Yonah in his Shaarei Tshuva gives three reasons why we have to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, and I want to focus on reason number 2. It has nothing to do with preparation. The reason why we eat on Erev Yom Kippur is not at all because we should be prepared and fortified on Yom Kippur. Parenthesis, by the way, that also shows us that we should be fortified on Yom Kippur. There's no mitzvah to walk into Yom Kippur just tzeshmetered, and then I'll be more tzeshmetered on Yom Kippur. I should walk in with a shtikala starkeit in my stomach that I should be able to do what I have to do on Yom Kippur. Zakt Rabbeinu Yonah has nothing to do with preparation. Vahashenis, in the middle section on page 6, Vahashenis. Ki b'sha'ar yamim tovim, anachnu kovim su'udo l'simchas ha-mitzvah. I told you that Yom Kippur is a Yom Tiv. Lo hayu yamim tovim liYisrael, like Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a tremendous Yom Tiv. Sir, there's seats right over here. Please make yourself comfortable. Right here. Yom Kippur is an amazing Yom Tiv. What's the halacha on Yom Tiv? On Yom Tiv, there's something called Simchas Yom Tiv. Simchas Yom Tiv. How does Chas Yom Tiv express itself? Simchas Yom Tiv expresses itself through eating. It's a Gemara at the end of Masachas Pesachim. I enjoy the holiday through Achila Shasiya. I buy clothes. I give candies to kids. I'm physically enjoying myself. So if Yom Kippur is a Yom Tiv, I have a problem. Because In Yom Tiv, there's an obligation to be able to eat and to drink. That's what I have to do. That's a kiyum and simchas Yom Tiv. But I'm stuck because on Yom Kippur, I can't eat because the Torah says you can't eat. You can't drink on Yom Kippur. So therefore, in order to fulfill simchas Yom Tiv on Yom Kippur, I eat erev Yom Kippur. Not to prepare myself so I could get the job done on Yom Kippur. Eating on erev Yom Kippur is a kiyum in simchas Yom Tiv of Yom Kippur. I can't do it when I normally would imagine I should do it, namely on the day, so I do it the day before. It's a din in simchas Yom Tiv. Yom Kippur is a happy day. Yom Kippur is a joyous day. Where does this come from? What is the joy and the simcha of Yom Kippur? Like Shalosh Regalim, Rabbi Soloveitchik taught us, and I'm going to read one line in both of these sources. Rabbi Soloveitchik on the bottom right, third line, footnote 19 in Uvikashtem Misham. Third line, Yesh lo lahalacha hashva'a pshuta. Halacha has a very simple, clear equation. Simcha equal amida lefnei Hashem. One of the big yesodos, principles of Rabbi Soloveitchik's teachings was that simcha is not just an emotional, I'm happy. But simcha means I have an awareness that my life unfolds in the presence of God. That, to me, brings me the greatest simcha. I am not alone. The worst thing in the world, Rachmana Litzlan, is to feel like you're alone. The only way, ultimately, not to feel like you're alone, because human beings sometimes disappoint us and human beings sometimes pass away, the only way, ultimately, not to feel alone is if we can establish a relationship with God and to feel that we live lifnei Hashem in the presence of God. And if that's true with regard to all simchas Yom Tiv, then kal v'chemer on Yom Kippur, bottom left, what pasuk do we recite again and again and again, over and over again on Yom Kippur? Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem, l'tayer eschem, mikol chatoseichem, next two words, lifnei Hashem titoru. Our lives, particularly on Yom Kippur, are happening, exist. We are aware that they are lifnei Hashem. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, Ma yitrono shel yom zeh al kol she'ar yamot hashana, bottom left. What is the advantage of this day of Yom Kippur more than any other day? Bayom hazeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu karav yoso liYisrael mi b'chol hayom, and God is closer. וביום הזה כלל ישראל וכל הפרטים שבתוכו נמצאים במצב של לפני השם. Our job in Yom Kippur is it's a holiday. It's a holiday, it's a Yom Tiv, and we feel simcha. And the simcha expresses itself by our awareness that we live in the presence of God. I've been thinking this year about an adjustment to the normal paradigm of Yom Kippur that I've been thinking about, I would say probably for my entire life. I have been accustomed, and this goes back to my childhood, in my young adulthood when I was studying in various yeshivas and on, to focus on shortcomings. So we focus on our shortcomings. And we say, Al-Chet, 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 and we say, Oshamnu, Bagadnu, and we recite a multitude of sins, and we feel apprehension and anxiety and tension and trepidation, especially in Unasana Tokef. It's pretty graphically laid out in front of us, and there's a sense of tension. And there are years when I felt that, and the years when I didn't feel it, I was upset that I didn't feel it. So there were years when I beat up on myself. And then when I wasn't feeling it, I beat up on myself that I wasn't beating up on myself. I felt guilty that I wasn't feeling mamish kulo shakua in sin. But I want to suggest a variation of this model, and that is, Yom Kippur is not a din in inu. We don't have to feel miserable. I proved that to you. Take the pill. Take the pill. It's okay. It's fine. Take the pill. Kedushas Hayom, you can even eat and you have Kedushas Hayom on Yom Kippur. The reason why we eat on Erev Yom Kippur is either to feel full or because it's a Yom Tiv. We don't have to sit in the hot sun, and we don't have to sit in the freezing cold. And if it's not a day of physical suffering, then I'm coming to the conclusion that it's also not a day only of psychological suffering. There is a wonderful young man who lives in Los Angeles, who's the chairman of the advisory board of the Center for the Jewish Future. His name is Aryeh Goldberg. Aryeh Goldberg last year sent me an email in August of 2017. Quote, I have an idea for an Elul shiur that I'd like to run past you. If you like the concept, maybe you'll take it on and create a shiur around it. The concept essentially revolves around reflecting on last year's Elul Menorahim as one begins the process of tshuva for this year's cycle. In other words, how much did I accomplish from what I set out to do a year ago, and can I feel good and encouraged by that? Then, harness that energy to springboard into even greater levels of tshuva. So I'm beginning to think that we are on a journey, that Yom Kippur is not about, oh my God, it's been awful until now, and now I have to be totally different. But you know what? I look at last year, you know, Baruch Hashem, it's a pretty good year. It's a pretty good year. I did a couple of mitzvahs. I went to Davin once in a while. I lit Shabbos candles. I went to mikveh. I did Maisa Chasadim. I crossed an old lady across the street a couple of times. I dropped $100,000 for tuition for my kids in school. You know what I mean? I'm not so bad. I have a lot of work to do. I have an enormous amount of work to do. But we're on a journey. We're on a journey. And Yom Kippur is a happy day. It's a happy day in the sense that you look back at the last year, and it's not, ich bin a garnish, ich bin a menuvel, ich bin a noisvorf, ich bin a shegitz, ich bin a chaleri, ich bin a nobody. And I'm standing before God like mamish ka'afra da'ara, like I'm zero. You know what? I'm a mishtikal somebody. I'm no different than you, all of you. You're sitting here this morning. It's a beautiful day outside. Go walk in the park. Why did you come here? Because it matters to you. Because you're good people. Because you're good Jews. We're all good Jews. And that was last year and the year before and the year before. See, Yom Kippur means, oh my God, wow! Baruch Hashem! I know. I have an enormous amount of work to do. But I walk into Yom Kippur with a sense of a shtickle of optimism. That what it is that I accomplished, I can build on. The reason why I can say, Al-Chet, 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 Hashamnu, Bagadnu, and I have a shot that I can make a difference, is because I could do this. Because I'm not starting from nothing. I'm starting from something. I have a running start already from last year and the year before. We live a journey of life, and Yom Kippur is a tachana on that journey, a very important tachana on that journey, and it gives us an opportunity to stop, to look at the past, and to say, Baruch Hashem, and also to say, you gotta be kidding. I mean, I did good stuff, but I got a long way to go. I have a lot that I need to do. A lot that I need to do. It's a Yom Tov, it's a holiday, it's a time of, and we need to do tshuva, and we need to say okay, and we need to recognize the mistakes that we made. But our sins are not what defines us. The second thing that I want to share with you, I debated whether or not I should share with you, but I want to share it with you, and that is very personal for me and for my family. About 7 weeks ago, my mother, Zolzug Zunzain, became very ill. Very ill. And I call her always after Shabbos, and I say, Mommy, how was Shabbos? She says to me, Yaakov Yosefel. She calls me Yaakov Yosefel, Yaakov Yosef, Jacob Joseph, JJ. So since I was 3, she calls me Yaakov Yosefel. Yaakov Yosefel, I want you to listen to me. I want to die. I want to die. I've had it. I lived a wonderful life. It's over. I want to die, and I want you to respect me, and I want you to not do anything to fight me. I've made my decision. I was caught unawares. I mean, this was really shocking to me. And I start to stutter, and, you know, Mommy, and, I don't want to, on the one hand, I don't want to disrespect her. On the other hand, this can't happen. I don't know what to do. I call my rabbi, figure it out, what to do. Call my sister. My sister says, JJ, you're not going to believe what happened. I just called Mommy to see how she was for Shabbos. Mommy said, Miriam, I want to die. I need you to respect me the same thing. So we come running over to the house, and over 4 or 5 days, she's totally deteriorated. And she doesn't want to eat, and she's totally ice mensch. She wants to die. She's willing herself. She wants to die. And it's getting worse and worse and worse, and we're calling the kids and the Einikloch and the Ure Einikloch and from different cities, and we're all coming around. And at some point it's so bad, I said to her, Mommy, do you want me to say Vidu with you? She says yes. So she's in bed, we call everybody in. And you can imagine, I'm sitting on the bed with my sister and my wife and my brother-in-law and the Neil, all the kids, the Einikloch, the Ure Einikloch, they're all around. And we're bawling, it's a horrible... Some of you may have been in such a moment. It's a very sad moment. We're saying goodbye. Wonderful life. Wonderful life. So, Mommy, okay, we're going to say Vidui. So she belts out, she's totally lucid. Shema Yisrael, the whole first paragraph, her eyes are closed, she's lying there, but she gets muster's energy, she says the whole Shema. And then I start to say Vidui with her. The text of Vidui. I'm reading to you from the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridaya. I did not put it on the sheet because I wasn't sure if I was going to do this or not. So I'm going to read it to you. You listen to it. Seder vidui shchiv meira. Here's what you're supposed to say. So I have it in front of me, and I'm holding my mother's hand, and I'm crying, and everybody's crying. It's a really very gut-wrenching moment for all of us. Moda ani lefanecha, Hashem Elokai velokai avosai. Mother repeats after me, Moda ani lefanecha. Hashem Elokai Velokei Avosai, Sherefuasi Umisasi Biyadecha, that my healing and my death is in your hands. She repeats, my healing and my death is in your hands. Everything is in God's hands. Yiratzam Ulfanecha Shetirpa'eni Refu Shalema. So she had trouble saying that because she didn't want to have a Refu Shalema. But I had no trouble in reading it to her. And then I choked. And then I could not say the next sentence. The next sentence in the vidui is, this is maybe I'm wrong, but v'im amos, and if I am to die, tehi misasi kapara al kol chataim v'avonos upshaim shechatasi v'sheavisi v'sheposhati lefanech. And if I die, I want my death to be an atonement for all the sins that I did, these kinds of sins, and these kinds of sins, and these kinds of sins, that I sinned in this kind of sinful way, and that kind of a sinful way, and that kind of a sinful way. And I'm looking at my mother. She's a wonderful lady. Is this the message? This is the last thing I wanted to think about for her whole life? That I did these kinds of sins, and yenna kinds of sins, and yenna kinds of sins. Are we defined by the sins that we did? The last moment, she's leaving. It's the last minute and a half on earth. That's what we expected. That's what she wanted. And I'm going to remind her about this sin, the chotasi, and avisi, pashati, shechotasi, sheavisi, shepashati. I didn't say it. I said, Mommy, you lived a wonderful life. You're surrounded by such wonderful people. We love you. If you have to go, you should go with such a wonderful feeling of an accomplishment and such an incredible sense of gratitude. That I was just on and on and on. I was just pedaling furiously. I just couldn't say this. And this stuck with me. Are we defined? Are we defined by our sins? And it's not only Rahman al-Islam were at the end. It's a Baruch Hashem she rallied. Crazy, hysterical story. I finished the vidui, we're bawling crazy. She's quiet, 10 seconds. Then she opens her eyes and she goes, oh my God, I'm still here. What am I supposed to do? Like, oh man, ready? Burst out the end. Oh my, she thought, that's it. She said vidui, she did hers. She's done, her body's like, oh my God, I'm still here. Baruch Hashem, she's still here, Baruch Hashem. I thought maybe Hashem is giving me a second chance to say the vidui at some point, and maybe, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm not going to do it. What do I take away from this? And it's so much on my mind, maybe that's why I came to this. We're not defined by our sins, and it doesn't have to be only when we're lying on a deathbed. We're not defined by our sins. Hashem didn't want me to tell this story. That must be what this is. You could hear it right here. Do we know what happened? Can you hear me? We're not defined by our sins, not only when we're ready to die, we're not defined by our sins our whole life. And on Yom Kippur, it's not about being defined by our sins. We are sinners. And we are avaryan. And it's not like it's everything is fine and perfect and wonderful and we're fine and perfect and wonderful. That's not the case. But we come into Yom Kippur as a yomtiv. It's a holiday. We appreciate what it is that we were able to accomplish, and then we're able to build on that. The last source, there's so many other sources, the last source, I'm just going to summarize. The last source is a medrash that refers to us as Malachim on Yom Kippur. Thank you, Nasi. We're Malachim on Yom Kippur. You know the famous minhag that we say, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso La'olam Vayed, out loud. Malachim say, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso La'olam Vayed. We don't say it, we say it softly. Yom Kippur, we're a Malach. And so I want to leave you with the following. We have a lot of work to do. And the old paradigm of Al-Chayt and Al-Chayt and Al-Shamnu is a correct paradigm. And it's an appropriate paradigm. Because there are massive parts of our lives that need to be rectified and that we need to build upon. But the reason why we have a shot, the reason why we go into Yom Kippur and think that we would be worthy of some kind of a response favorably on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is because we have a sense of optimism. It's a holiday. It's a simcha. I'm lefnei Hashem. I'm showing up, God. I'm here. I want to do the right thing. I've demonstrated to you, more or less, that I'm capable of doing the right thing. And help me build on that. To take what I've accomplished in the past, on this tachana, on the journey of life which now is stopping, on this day of introspection, to be able to take that and bring me into a future. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the kayach. A, most important, to appreciate what we've done. You are incredibly wonderful. Be proud of yourselves. Be happy with yourselves. You're amazing. You're amazing. You're amazing people. You're amazing Jews. Appreciate that. Appreciate who you are. Believe in yourself. And take that and bring it into Yom Kippur. And Hashem should respond to us as we do the work and give us all the Shnas Chaim v'Shalom Lanu L'Chol Yisrael.
Amazing.
I think the batteries must be dead. That's why it keeps on shutting off. There's an extra set right here.
Please stay seated just for a couple more minutes.
It's Amazon battery.
Thank you so much again, Rabbi Sachter. Good morning once again. My name is Dov Winston. I'm the Community Programming Director of the CJF. As Rabbi Glasser said earlier, if you have any thoughts or comments or criticisms about this morning's program or future programs, please feel free to come over and see me. In just a few moments, at 10:45, we'll begin our first series of breakout sessions. So just very quickly, I'm going to run through who all the speakers are and where they are speaking, but we also have flyers throughout the building and near the elevators as well. So the first session, Rabbi Adler will be speaking about interpersonal mechila. Is saying I forgive you necessary? That is in room 430. Rabbi Wiederblank will be speaking on teshuva on Bein Adam Lechaveiro. That's in room 218. And finally, Professor Emma Price, she'll be speaking about unexpected models of teshuva in Tanakh, and she'll be speaking right here in this room. I'd now like to kindly ask everyone to please get up and find whichever session they'd like to go to. If you do plan on staying here, the source sheets for the sessions in here are in the back of the room.
I wish I realized, while I was sitting there, I thought it was, he was just being emotional or something. I didn't realize that the
I had the time now. I feel that there should have been sessions in Poland before Rosh Hashanah. Not on air, but before. We were already, she was already in session. There was Rosh Hashanah. I asked, I'm going to, I got to medicine. I'm going to drop.
They wanted to. The problem was that there was no meeting because now, the first Sunday was Labor Day, and then it was Rosh Hashanah, so it was the Sunday.
No, but we can tell them.
Actually, I
want to severe
problems.
We wanted to
understand it. Fantastic.
There were a lot of sounds that didn't happen, right?
But it was okay.
Yeah. And because I go back to the very first episode, when we had it all the whole bunch of Jews. We like went to develop this, but we have it. We tried to get it in the shape. We have it. And then all of a sudden, we stopped doing it.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Well, yeah, again, it was a calendar thing, but yeah, that was a good point.
It's nice.
I tested it, so it's going on. There's a problem, no problem with Amazon Basic Matter.